Thank you, Sister Clark. Thank God I can go in. Amen. That is great. And in fact, I didn't know she was going to sing that. I believe it'll go along with some of the things I want to say this morning. You say, well, why don't you say them? Sometimes you can't think of them. Go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark. Pick it up in chapter 7. Going to read a few verses. I'm going to speak to you on a subject this morning. Don't judge me till you hear all of it. Speak to you about having a crummy attitude. A crummy attitude. I might even shock you by telling you it might be the attitude you're supposed to have. Amen. Mark chapter 7. Let's pick it up. Begin to pick it up here in about verse 24. We're going to read through about verse 30. And it's about Jesus. He's been under attack here in the last few verses. He's done some things. He's rebuked the Pharisees and talked about how man is defiled from the inside out. In verse 24, it says, from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. Apparently he was tired. He wanted to get away. He says, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yea, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now she said the dogs will even eat the crumbs, the children's crumbs that fall on the table. This is depicting an attitude. We all are aware of attitudes. You ever hear somebody tell you got a bad attitude? School teachers, you ever have to say to the student, some of the students think you got bad attitudes. See, it's sort of a relative thing. I think about the little boy when his newborn brother was brought home from the hospital. He was in the crib and just a few days old, and he was pitching a fit. He was crying and carrying on. And the little four-year-old brother walked up there and said to his mother, Mother, did he come from heaven? She said, yes. He said, well, no wonder they kicked him out with an attitude like that. Now, we laugh about that, but we all talk about attitudes sometimes. And Jesus here, he wanted to hide. He wanted to get away, apparently, but he couldn't here. And he's talking here. In fact, there's a hint here. Jesus came to the lost house of the sheep of Israel. Remember that scripture? He came to the Jews. He came unto his own. His own received him not, John 1. Remember, that's the truth. But at the same time, we see a little hint here that he's going to turn, or the time is going to come, that the door is going to be opened and everybody can be saved. Everybody can go in, like Sister Clark was singing, that the Gentiles can also get in. Now, this woman shows up here, and she's a Syrophoenician. If you were to read the same story in Matthew 15, it would say that she was a Canaanite, apparently living in Greece here, a Gentile, because the scripture only knows two real groups, and that's the Jew and the Gentile, as you go through. And this woman here would probably, if you'd looked at her color, she'd have been probably brown or black. And from the area that she came from. And here she comes in. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. And we see in the story here that when she comes to the Lord, we see some attitudes expressed here. To begin with, we see the disciples had an attitude, not a good one. It was a Jewish attitude. That is, that this is our king to come. They were a little mixed up on that. They did not want the Gentiles in. The Gentiles treated the Jews bad, and the Jews treated the Gentiles bad. And I want to say to you, racism just didn't start in the South in America. It's been going on. Fact is, the largest recorded group that was ever enslaved for the longest period of time was the Jews in Egypt. And that was a darker race enslaving the white race, as far as the Jews go. Read your Bible. Egypt's called the land of Ham. Ham was the darker brother of the sons of Noah. Do you remember that? Read your Bible. It'll help you out. All this liberalism today will mess you up, but the Bible will straighten you out on that stuff. And in fact, there's only 11 chapters in the Bible. It only takes the first 11 chapters that deals with the whole world business until Abraham is called out and God begins to work with the Jewish race. And from that point on, all the way through your Bible, until you get to the time, basically the book of Acts, you find that the Jews are in the limelight. And they're very prejudiced against everybody else. And others are prejudiced against them. But here I see some attitudes. The disciples had the wrong one. It was a Jewish attitude. They didn't want the Gentiles in at all. And by the way, that still exists in some areas. But we see a selfishness here, an attitude of selfishness. We could really say here, in a sense, that they had a bad attitude, a crummy attitude. I think they really did. But then I see Jesus here, and he speaks to this woman roughly. He reminds her that compared to the Jews, she's called a dog. And what's he doing? Jesus has an attitude here of testing. He was telling her the legal truth. He had come as the Jewish Messiah. He was a Jew. He had come to his own. And that was the whole thing. He was reminding her, you're out of bounds to come and ask for the bread that belongs to the children. And Israel was a test of nations. God chose Israel in the beginning. He called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He had a special plan. And among the nations of the world, God had a plan for Israel. God still has a plan for Israel. And all the heresies today that think that God has rejected them forever, they're wrong. They're coming back to do just and fulfill what they should have done. Instead, they rejected their Messiah, their Jewish Messiah, and they wanted to be king when it was the wrong timing for it. But the day is coming. He is coming back as king, and they're going to recognize who he is. But you read Matthew 25, and you find out all the nations are going to be called before God, and they're going to be judged as sheep or goat nations in relationship to how they have reacted with the nation of Israel. But you know, the Jews came from the Shemites. You remember Shem, Japheth, and Ham, sons of Noah? You remember them? You ever read the Bible about the ark? All right, I'm having to catch you up now. It rained in those days, right? Remember that? All right. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, that was the sons of Noah. And you remember there's some prophecies made. By the way, if you want to check out the nations, you go to the chart of the nations. You go into Genesis chapter 10, and you'll find out the predictions concerning the nations and their beginnings is all lined up in the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 10. And you'll find the prophecy on Noah's sons is very real. You ever hear somebody say, well, he's an anti-Shemite, anti-Jew? Yeah, the Jews came from the Shemites. By the way, some others did. I won't bother some of you with this, but probably they crossed over on the Bering Straits, came into America, and helped tie Columbus's boat up when he arrived. All right. I'm hearing groaning out in the troops. That's a prophecy. You didn't know that? You didn't ever read over there where it says Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem? What did the American Indians live in? Tents. Who came over on the boats? Japheth's descendants. What did they do? they kicked the Indians out of the tents and lived in them. All right, that's enough. I'll send you a test later on that, but you ought to get that. The truth is, we see an attitude here, a separation attitude, and today's liberals would declare what I just read to you about Jesus. He's not politically correct. They'd declare him a racist. See, there's only two forbidden, only two unpardonable sins in America. One of them is this charge of racism. Now they've added another to it, and that's sexual abuse in the workplace. I see where our legislators, boy, y'all getting quiet on me. You're really scared where I'm going this morning. Just go on and buckle your seatbelts. It may get rough. But right here at our Florida legislature, now they're going to make all the men take classes so they'll know how to treat the ladies. I think the ladies need a class too. They both need classes. They need classes on Christianity with the emphasis on being born again. That'd take care of the problem. I'd take care of it real big. But we got this junk going on being political correct today. The president got in a lot of trouble this week over fussing about who we were letting in on immigration. Now, I don't condone his words. If he said those words, I don't condone dirty talk. However, I'd rather get a package at Christmas wrapped in brown paper with something really on the inside than I had to get a pretty wrapped package with a big bow on it and nothing on the inside. I've had enough of nothing. I'll take the brown paper bag if it's got something in it, amen? And while I would not condone his words, I'm in sympathy with the fact that I'm good and tired of pulling the borders down and bringing a crowd in to put on the welfare road. They go straight to the welfare road. No, they don't. They go register to vote, and then they go to the welfare road. Some of you are following me, some of you aren't. The truth of the matter is, we cannot take in the whole world, pull our borders down. We taxpayers cannot continue. You say, well, you're just a racist. No more than you are. No more than every one of you out there. Say, what do you call? I'll prove it to you. If you think we ought to pull the borders down and bring everybody in from all over the world and take, I believe we ought to get the gospel to every one of them, but I know this, we can't feed the whole world, we can't bring the whole crowd in, and yet that's exactly what we are being taught from headquarters down. And you're charged as being a racist if you're against that. I said the rest of you were too. I'll prove it to you. Go home today as soon as I get through preaching, and I'm on the radio now, Radio Land, listen to me. You go home as soon as I get through today and don't lock your doors. Put a sign in front of your house. Come on in, everything I got is yours. Now let's see how many will do that. Let's start over here on the right. If you're going to do that, would you raise your hand? How about over here and over here and over here? I'm sad to tell you folks out there, I didn't have a hand. I was going to give you their address so you could just go home. You could get all they got out of the fridge. You could sit down and watch TV. And if you needed a nap, you could go in the bedroom. I was just, but I got a bunch of racists out here. You following me? That's what they want us to believe. And just as foolish as that sounds to you, that's exactly what it is. By the way, guess what? The liberals that preach what I just asked you to do, they don't do it. They got a wall around their place. They got a lock on their door. They got a security camera up and probably a security guard. Bunch of hypocrites. Exactly what they are. Just a bunch of hypocrites. Sad truth is that a lot of folks are being brainwashed into this stuff. This woman here, though, had a crummy attitude, too. All she asked for was the crumbs, right? I want to say to you, that was the right attitude. All the disciples had a crummy attitude. It was wrong. Just the Jews only. It seemed like Jesus did, but Jesus was going somewhere with the test he gave. But the woman had a crummy attitude. She was told, it's not your bread. The bread belongs to the children. But she was saying, I'll just take the crumbs. I'll be satisfied with the crumbs. She was facing the truth about herself. She wasn't a Jew. She had no claim on Jesus. She had no claim on their God and their religion. She was separate from it. She was facing the truth. She wasn't asking for all that. I don't know why she asked at all. I don't know where she got her hope from, I suspect. Because it says, reading between the lines here, I think she'd already seen what Jesus had been doing. I think she understood. She didn't argue with him. Don't call me a dog. Don't have that attitude toward me. No, no, no. She accepted that. I think what her hope was built on, maybe she saw the 10 lepers that come to him, and he healed them. And one of them came back and praised him, and he said, where are the 9? Just this one came back, and he was a Samaritan, not a Jew. Maybe she'd seen Jesus with his mercy and his grace on some outside the Jewish race. Maybe she'd been observing that, and maybe her hope was that she would ask for mercy, not something she deserved. Grace, not something she deserved. Maybe that was her hope, and that's exactly, of course, what she got. She didn't come claiming her rights. She didn't come saying, well, I've got a right to do this, and I'll take it to the Supreme Court if you deny me. Oh, no. She was saying, just the crumbs, Lord. Just the crumbs will do. Only asking for mercy. Think about it a little bit. Do you know this? That every one of us need this crummy attitude she had. Yeah, same crummy attitude she had is the only way you're ever going to get saved. Did you know that? So what do you mean, preacher? I mean, you don't deserve salvation any more than she deserved the bread. She came asking for the crumbs, humbling herself. And if you're here today without Jesus, you're going to have a crummy attitude to get saved. A crummy attitude that, Lord, I don't deserve it. I just need your mercy. I need your grace. And that's exactly the attitude the woman had. You know why some of you aren't saved now? You don't have a crummy attitude. You have a hierarchy attitude. You've been brainwashed one way or the other that you are somebody. If you are without Jesus, you're a lost sinner on your way to hell. That's who you are. And you'll never get what you really need until you get a crummy attitude. Lord, just give me the crumbs of your grace. Give me the crumbs of your mercy. Lord, I don't deserve it. I've sinned. I've fallen short. I have nothing to recommend myself. But Lord, I'll take your mercy and your grace. Just give it to me, Father. I'll accept it. I know who I am. I'm a dog. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But I'd like to have a crumb of your salvation. You won't get saved till you get a crummy attitude, I'll tell you that. You got to have that. You know, crummy attitude, you say, is that the only way to be saved? Yes, yes. I think about the old story of an old slave, perhaps in the days of slavery in the South. I don't know where the story originated. His name, they called him Old Mose in the story, and he loved the Lord. He'd been saved. He talked about him all the time. But he worked for a master in the big house that claimed there was no God and just kind of mocked God a little bit. But the old slave told him over and over, Master, I love you, and you need to be saved. You need Jesus. And the story goes that one time the master finally got very sick. And he couldn't get well. And he got sicker and sicker. And finally he knew he was going to die and face God. So he called for old Mose to come in. And Mose come in, and the master laying on the bed said, Mose, you always tried to tell me about Jesus and how to be saved. And he said, I'm ready to get saved, Mose. What do I have to do to get saved? And old Mose said to him, Master, you know the hog pen? You know all the hogs and the mud and the dirt and the filth that's within the hog pen? Yeah, I know about it. My hogs, yeah. Mose said, well, Master, for you to get saved, you got to go down to the hog pen. You got to crawl through the fence, and you're going to have to crawl in the mud down there with those hogs before the Lord will ever save you. He said, Mose, I just can't do that. He said, well, that's the only way you're going to get saved. Mose left, and after a while, Master got sicker, and he called him back. And he said, Mose, I'm ready to do it. Take me down to the hog pen. I'm ready to crawl in the filth and the mud. Mose started laughing a little bit, and he said, Master, you don't have to do that. You just had to be willing to. I want to tell you something. Until you get to the place that you get a crummy attitude that I'm willing to take the crumbs, I'm willing to do whatever God asks, I have nothing of my own to recommend me to God, I'm a lost sinner on my way to hell without Jesus. And when you can get to that place, my friend, you can get saved. And the problem is, in a building like this and other churches where the preacher's trying to tell the gospel, everybody wants to cut their own terms and their own contract with God. And God, aren't you so proud that you got me? You'll never make it that way, friend. You need a crummy attitude. You need a crummy attitude. You know, admitting you're a sinner. There's a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 18 when Jesus tells a story where a Pharisee and a publican went up to the temple to pray. Now the publican was scorned of society. He was hated even among the Jews because he collected taxes for the Romans. He was not liked. He was looked down on. He was scorned. But the Pharisee, he was a religious fellow. He had all the decorations of his religion. And they both go in the temple to pray, Jesus said. And the Pharisee looked up to God in his pride, and he told the Lord, how I serve you, how I'm able to tithe and do this and do that. Religious ceremonies he was bringing up. The publican down there with his face down, and the Pharisee said, I thank you that I'm not like him. But the publican wouldn't even look up to God, but he smote himself and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, which man went down to his house justified? The publican, not the proud Pharisee. Oh, a lot of folks today wouldn't admit they're proud Pharisees, but that's exactly what keeps them from Jesus. Oh, preacher, don't tell me I'm undone. I'm high in society. I got a big bank account. I graduated with a degree. I'm up in the social club with my friend. Oh, listen, you need to be willing to get in the hog pen. You need a crummy attitude. That's the only way you're going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what we sang about when we sang Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, old John Newton. Talking about crumbs, he actually had to eat off the floor. He was a white man, but he was a slave to a black woman on a slave ship, and she wouldn't even let him sit at the table to eat. She threw food on the floor for him to eat like a dog. So when he wrote Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, he saw himself on the ground, on the floor, eating like a dog. And yet God saved him and elevated him to the place, probably it's a main hymn in Baptist churches today, Amazing Grace. That's what it takes to save you. Amazing Grace. John Newton. We sang a song here for the invitation. Maybe we will this morning. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. Charlotte Elliott wrote that song. She was a high-class singer, a classical singer. She was in the London opera-type class. Big crowds come to hear Charlotte Elliott sing. She had a wonderful, gifted voice. She finished a concert one night, and there was an old American preacher had come to her concert and her sing. And he stepped up and in a humble way he said to her, he said, Miss Elliott, it'd be a wonderful thing if you'd become a Christian and use your voice for the gospel. She was insulted that he said to her, become a Christian? Well, don't you know who I am? Of course I'm a Christian. I mean, she felt like he was putting her down, that she wasn't good, and she was good. But when she went back to her bed that night in the room, she couldn't get away from what the old preacher said. And she fell on her knees side of her bed, and she asked Jesus in her heart to save her. And she wrote the song, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." This woman here had no plea. "Lord, I'll take the crumbs. I'll humble myself down to the crumbs." And I want to say to you, if you want to get saved this morning, you need to get a crummy attitude. You're no good outside of Jesus. You're not good enough to get to the front doorstep of heaven, much less in the door. Until you're willing to see yourself, as Sister Clark was singing, you're not going to come in. Oh, how we need to get a hold of this. Folks, I'm not preaching again. I'm not beating a straw man. I'm telling you, this is how it is. Pride, esteem, all those things the world tells you to build up is exactly what's keeping America lost today. Instead of seeing themselves and coming to Jesus like they really are, it'd make this country over if we could get just the church membership in America to get saved. Amen. I think it was evangelist Eddie Martin of years ago told a story. He said he was preaching a meeting and preaching the gospel and giving an invitation. And he said some folks were coming and getting saved. And he said there was a woman, well-dressed, nice lady. She came down the aisle, and when he took her by the hand, he said to her, "Did you come as a sinner to trust Christ?" She said, "Well, not a bad sinner." He said, "Well, go back to your seat. Jesus only saves bad sinners." He said she went back to her seat. He said, "In a little while, others coming, she come again." He said, "I stepped to her again, and I said, 'Did you come as a sinner to get saved?'" She said, "Well, I don't sin too much." He said, "You're not a bad sinner?" She said, "No." He said, "Well, go back to your seat. Jesus only saves bad sinners." He said, the third time she come in tears, and she said, "Preacher, I need to get saved. I'm a bad sinner." "You're a bad sinner. You won't get saved until you see yourself as a bad, lost sinner. You can't get saved without you willing to take the crumbs of the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. You don't deserve it, but he'll save you by his grace if you let him." Preacher said one time the altar was full. We were given an invitation. Some folks were getting saved. He said, "I looked over there, and he said, I saw a bum I'd seen on the streets. Smelled of alcohol and everything. He'd come to the altar. And he said, I looked side of him, and a man had his arm on his shoulder that was one of the biggest bankers in our town. Probably the wealthiest man in our town," he said. And he said, "I looked there, and I realized the banker has come down and is praying with the man to show him how to be saved." He said, "I got to thinking, you know, it took just as much grace to save the banker as it did the bum." Are you hearing me? The banker had come and accepted the crumbs. He hadn't come in his own goodness. He'd been saved and God was using him, and now he had his arm around a sinner. But it took the same amount of grace to save both of them. I ask you today, as I give the invitation, what keeps you back from coming to Christ? You want to come all polished up, and "Lord, aren't you glad I come?" Don't come. Don't come. It won't work. But if you're willing to come, say, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake," he'll accept you. He'll accept you. You need to come with a crumbly attitude, and he'll save you that way. Will you do it this morning? Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed, how many of you can say, "Preacher, I'm saved and I know it. I know what you're talking about. I know when I saw myself undone, I couldn't help myself, saw myself as a bad sinner. I remember that, Lord, how I came and I got saved." Can you say that with the uplifted hand all over the building? Thank you. You may put them down. Are you hearing you say, "Preacher, I got saved because I was so good and so proud, and I decided to let Jesus just put my name down on his list"? Lift your hand if you think that saved you. I hope we don't have anybody like that in this building. But sometimes I see that attitude. Yeah, we need some folks with a crummy attitude. Not thinking too high of themselves. That's the kind Jesus will accept. That's the kind he'll save. Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've been trying to be plain and honest this morning. This world looks at things so wrong from what your word says. They want to come in their pride and their self-esteem and in their pedigree and who they are. And Lord, you can't save them that way. They can only get saved when they come like the woman did, saying, "Lord, the dogs will eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Just give me a crumb, Lord. Just have mercy on me." And Father, I pray for that one here today that this truth might have reached, that they would come and receive Christ. They'd know for sure they're going to heaven. And that day comes, they'll be able to go on in, not by their goodness, but by your grace. Bless the invitation now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. I'll meet you here. Will you come receive Christ? Come to the altar. Whatever God's asked you to do, move a membership, whatever, you come as we sing.
Just as I am.